My special guest and hometown hero is here today, Marquetta Diggins.
Come talking trash and like something about a ball hog. And I'm just like, my mom, I'm like, care about that? You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I'm just like, why I care about that? Like, you know, it's, I know I'm not. Like, yeah, you check my assist. You know what I'm saying? It's one game I got double digit assist. You know, like, you don't know me kind of right. thing. But it hit me because I'm not a selfish person. So that bothered me. And so at that point, then I went to the force. I was like, all of this is like going through my head at the same time. It's like, dang. So I'm just like, man. But yeah, so that's my thing is, you know, as coaches, y'all got to be careful what y'all say to kids. You never know how it would affect them in the long run. It could be the most cockiest kid or you think the most cockiest kid in the world, but you don't know how they value your opinion
right.
kind of thing. And so those opinions, sometimes they kind of hit home. But now I wouldn't care at all.
All right. So are you one of them coaches that like very strong on health? I mean, do you eat certain foods or do you have your players eat certain things? You like check on their what they're eating?
No, not really. I'll be honest. I'm not. I'm more so of I wanna teach you there's certain things that you can and there's certain things that you can and you shouldn't do. Not you cannot, because you can do whatever you want, but you probably shouldn't do to be at the best of your ability. I'm more so of a coach of, I want to teach you certain things and allow you to make the certain choices. Now, if you're continuously making the wrong choice, then yeah, we're not going to do sodas at pregame. Like that kind of stuff, I will, but I'm not going to say you got to eat. You can't eat meat or you can't do this or nothing like that. I won't say I'm not big on nutrition because I am, but I don't like go and like check on them and things like that. But if it's someone that I see needs that or they're is affecting them in some type of way that I can see, then yeah, we'll sit down and we'll kind of talk about it. But I usually try to defer it somewhere else because to the trainer or something like that, because you got to be really, really careful about having those type of conversations about nutrition in terms of weight loss and things like that to help with that. And confidence and stuff like that at any kind of level. And I just don't want to cross any type of those lines, even though I have the background as a therapist to do so. It's just legally, I just want to make sure that I'm not, you know, being unethical in any kind of way. But no, I still eat pretty much everything myself. Yeah. Like one of my life coaches, one of my best friends, my captains at State, who's always been like, always on me, always from day one, even to today. I had posted a status when I was coming home. I was asking my cousin about making me some chitlins.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she went in on me. She went in on me. But I like that type of accountability.
Right,
it's
right,
cool.
Right.
I'm still going to do what I want to do.
Right.
But I appreciate the accountability and it makes me think. All
right. Right.
I get out here and wild out. You know, health is wealth. Seriously, it is.
Right.
And so just a lot of people don't even know this about me, but probably I would say 2012 or so. Like I ended up going to the emergency room one day and then I had to do a stress test and all this and then it was like, you got high blood pressure, your blood pressure is really, really high. I was like, I just finished playing, I'm just like a professional athlete. So you know,
right.
then that's when now you're older, you gotta think about things and so then you understand things like, you know, genetics and really what genetics is a combination of yes, your DNA, but also your environmental factors, in which means this is how we always ate. You know what I mean? And so it's not just that my DNA is defective. It's just I'm still eating the same things that everybody else in my family also ate.
Right.
So I changed my eating habits and things like that, and I probably dropped from like 165, close to 170, to back down to my average weight, which is probably around 150. You know, sometimes it fluctuates between 145 and 150. If I'm hitting 155, I'm like, all right, what am I doing? You know, is it just healthy weight or is it something that I am I indulging in the wrong foods too
right,
much?
Right, right,
that
right.
kind of thing. So I try to live more consciously than I did before.
So who would you look up to when you was younger? Who was your role model?
My role model, Pete Kirkland. You guys yeah. remember when he came to, like, you remember?
Yeah,
he came
to College Roundup, right? Tall yep. High. Yeah.
It was with the CEO, Miss Stiff.
Yeah,
Miss
yeah.
Still, I love Miss Still. She bought them. Them and the Rough Riders came down. People
yeah.
Kirkland, he took me in MA Race Center. And he did these moves with me and things like that. And I was like, wow. And I didn't know at that time who Pee Wee Kirkland was. Like,
right,
it's
right.
the Pee Wee Kirkland.
Kirkland.
If
right.
y'all don't know what Pee Wee Kirkland is, Google that man. Like, this this man was better than Jordan and everybody. And I didn't know that at the time. Yeah. And then I got older. I'm like, oh my God, like that's Pee Wee Kirkland. You know, I hear Pusha T talking about him. Yeah. Like, that's legend my dog. Like, yeah. So, of course, him, MJ, I don't know, I named the guys first, but MJ, Kobe, anybody who was a dog. Like, I like dogs. Like, you know.
So you like Westbrook then, too, then?
Westbrook? I do like Westbrook. Okay. I like his
greatness. A lot of people don't because everybody talk about Curry.
I'll be honest, and this is tough for me to say, but that UNC team with Montrose, Carter, them boys.
Oh, God.
They were good.
Yeah, they were.
Like, I just appreciate good basketball. I don't really care who it is. But greedy players, blue-collar players, women's side, Cheryl Swoops was my all-time favorite. Her and Cynthia Cooper, Lisa Leslie. Right now, more modern, Maya Moore is the GOAT.
Right.
Diane Taurasi, I played against her my freshman year. I was a little starstruck.
Yeah,
I
can't she's lie. Something serious.
Yeah, I was starstruck until she started talking trash to one of my teammates. I'm like, oh, nah, it's on. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, screw her. She can get this business. Like, screw the fan. You can get this work. You know? So her, Shamiqua Holzfall, like players like that, those were people that I looked up to. You know, it's just like kind of like Kobe's mentality where Magic, I could go on and on and on. Bird.
Right.
I looked at Reggie Miller. Like, I like different players for different reasons. And right. Just like Kobe, you look at all these players and you take bits and pieces of, you know, things that they're really, really good at and what mm-hmm. fits for you. And you make it your own personal style.
Right.
So, gosh, I looked up to a lot. But if I had to narrow it down, two and two, Kobe and MJ and Cheryl Swoops and Cynthia Cooper.
Hmm. Interesting. Wait,
my all-time favorite, though, all-time favorite player is Cheryl Miller.
Cheryl Miller. Yeah. Reggie Miller's sister.
Yes.
Yeah, she was tough.
Yes.
I seen a little bit on her, but yes. I didn't see as much.
Yes. Like, if I could imagine myself as a player, it would be her. Like, that dog is right. She don't care. Male, female, don't care, whatever. You know, she's in her skill set. It's just unbelievable.
Wow. How much fun do you have recruiting as a college coach now?
It varies. because I am so strategic and I'm a very analytical person, I can pick apart things a lot. Like at the AAU level, how AAU isn't necessarily for elite athletes anymore. It's become a money-hungry ego thing. And that frustrates me. So it makes it not fun because you're going out and you're looking at kids who really probably have, you know, no interest to even play in college. It's just something to do. And it's undervalued because it's not just for the elite players. Everybody can play now. And so I think it's been taken for granted. And that frustrates me because of my love and passion for the game. And I think probably the first group of kids that I coached, that young ladies that I coached at Central, can probably tell you how frustrated I get if you, and I told them, like, right. You guys are disrespecting the game. That's not going to happen. like, you know, and so that's why I ended up going back to school to be in counseling, student affairs and college counseling. Right. I'm just like, I need to understand. I don't get it. How can you disrespect the game? How can you not understand the opportunities that you've been given? Right. Like, y'all care about free gear. Y'all ain't putting in no work. Like, it just made me mad. And so that part of the game in recruiting is frustrating. But alongside that, I love to evaluate talent. Like, I love to sit in the gym and evaluate talent. And I like to do it early, like young kids. And, you know, that kind of thing. Because at the Division III level, we can go and talk to anybody after they finish playing. At the Division I level, you can't. And so I like to go in. But at the Division I level, if a kid is middle school, in the women's game, not men, 7th grade and below, or 8th grade and below, you can go and talk to them anytime. And so, you know, people always joke with me in recruiting. The thing is for me is that I have champagne taste on a beer budget. You know, so I'm going after the big dogs. They're like, Coach, they ain't coming here. But now I walk in the gym like, oh, who you got coming in this year? And I'm like, oh, I got Maria from Lyson. And they're like, what? That's a steal. I was like, yeah, that champagne taste. You know what I mean? Like, you got to go after it. So it's even competitive in terms of recruiting. So I enjoy it. I enjoy it because I have tons of opportunity to now share my vision. I say it all the time, I don't sell. I don't like using the word sell. I don't sell our program. I give people what our program is. I give people a vision. And if you want to be a part of that vision, then great, come on. But I'm not going to try to sell you on a vision and pull you along. No, we want people to be there because they fit into our vision and what it's going to be and what they want to be. And so I enjoy recruiting. I do enjoy the traveling, getting to go different places and things like that. I like it. I do. It gets you out of the office, something different, you know. So I like it. I have fun with it.
What are your future goals and who are you trying to inspire and what would you do?
Gosh, this is lofty. future goals. I have several. And they're not just all sports related.
Right.
And that's probably the one thing that I hope people understand about me. But at the same time, at the level I want to coach at, I hope that it's not a hindrance. My ultimate dream job is, it's to coach at the Division I level. My ultimate dream job is to coach at NC State. Like, I would be the happiest person in the world to coach and retire at NC State. Another place I wouldn't mind coaching at some point is East Carolina, because I feel like it's Eastern North Carolina. Like, this is my home.
Right.
Like, there's nothing more proud, you know, I'm not more proud of anything than I am my home and my people. And so that leads to my other aspiration is really to really kick off this nonprofit Fighters for Freedom here that we started, because Princeville means the world to me. My people mean the world to me. My ancestors have fought. And done a lot in Princeville.
Right.
And my thing is helping everybody understand who Princeville is, what it is, how can they be a part, how can they help, what it means to our country, but what does it mean to us as African Americans?
Right.
And how can we all share that and be a part of that? And really to connect right across the ridge with Tarboro, and how can we work together and pull together, and how can now the first town charter by our free slaves in America work with a town who had training camp for Confederate soldiers. How can we be that example and that model for the world? You know what I mean? Like, that's my ultimate dream, and that's the things that I see. How can we, as divided as we may seem as a country racially, how can we pull it together and show the world that we can actually all eat and we can get along, we can coexist,
right,
and we can economically grow together and not have to tear ourselves apart? And so that's my ultimate goal, and it's one of my dreams. Other than that, I really want to be in the recreational field and not just physical, but also mental. So mental health, physical health, that includes, you know, helping people understand the benefits of therapy, helping, especially in the African-American community, understanding the benefits of therapy and getting rid of the stereotypes, understand the benefits of health in terms of eating, the things that we put in our bodies. Mm-hmm. And not to say you have to be a vegetarian or you have to be vegan or anything like that, but understanding what it does and what works for you. And maybe you have to dial back on some salt. Maybe you can't eat red meat as much as you used to anymore. Those type of things, working within a community, financial literacy. These are also the things that I say in my community, but understanding that as a coach, that is also my community. So making sure my players understand these things too. Any player that comes in my office and plays with me, the first thing that we have a conversation about is, what do you want to do in life?
Right.
Not what do you want to do in terms of this season. What do you want to do in life? That's my first question. And how can I help you? How can I assist you get there?
Right.
You know, and of course, I want to win national championships. I feel like I talk so much about the humanitarian part of myself that it dilutes, for some people, it dilutes the fact that I am still very competitive. But for me, the humanitarian part, being a servant leader, doing the things that I need to do are the process. And if you do the process, you know what I mean? If you are strategic about the process and you implement your vision, then the wins will come. Now, it took John Wooden 10 years.
Right.
10 years at one place. And I haven't been one place 10 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It took him a while. And so for me, that's my ultimate goal, is to be able to coach at the highest level. And that's where I am now. Now, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't mind even coaching Division III for the rest of my life. And because I know that I'm taking you all over the world, but that's how my mind works.
Right, right.
I don't have a set, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do that. The only thing that I have to do is live my purpose. And my purpose is to be a servant leader, is to give back. Now, what avenue God in the universe says you need to do this in, be it my own private practice, and I coach Division III at the high, at the high Division III level, and because there's probably 4% of African American Black women at the Division III level.
Right.
So my impact is also needed there. There's probably like 11% at the Division I level. But I just want to be able to live my vision and my purpose. And that's going to be really through a lot of different avenues, the organization, coaching, mentorship, things like that. I'm even working on like consultant type stuff. I'm actually a facilitator for the NCAA now, where I go out and do like different it's called a DISC assessment. So I'm like tapping into that a little bit. People like, you should be a motivational speaker. I'm like, I like to speak necessarily to motivate people, but I don't know if that's a job per se that I want to do.
Right, right.
Did that answer the question?
Yeah, you sure did.
Okay. So it's a lot. I want to do a lot.
I know.
Yeah. I want to do a lot. So just having the right people around you, supportive people, to get it all done.
Speaking of that, what would you tell young girls who want to do the same things you do? What would be your advice to them?
My advice to young girls is never let anybody deter you from your dream. Be bold. You know, as young women, we are always kind of taught to, you girls don't do that. You know, girls are always kind of taught to sit back, be quiet, even from a young age.
Right.
You know, you're supposed to act like a lady, you know, be quiet, sit over there, don't move kind of thing. You know, if I'm aggressive now, I'm a bitch.
Yeah.
You know, like, if I'm aggressive, I'm a bitch. But you come in the room and you be aggressive, you're a boss.
Yeah.
You know? And so understanding that balance. And so for really young girls is be yourself. Love yourself. Be confident in yourself. Because once you do that, nobody can tell you anything about yourself that you don't already know. And if you tell me something about myself that I already know, I'm just going to look at you and laugh. Have some cockiness.
Yeah.
Have some swag. And don't shy away from it. Like, own it. Really, really own it. That's the advice that I would give young girls is own your greatness. Own it. Because everybody in this world will try to snatch it from you.
You're right. And this conclusion on Raw Mind Sports, Marquetta Diggins is the definition of anything is possible, and she will achieve anything. This is probably one of the most ambitious people I've met in my life, and she has let nothing deter her from her dreams and goals. And she has multiple things to do. So for young girls and young women, this is the perfect definition of do whatever you want to do to make your dreams come true. With that being said, appreciate it, my brother.
Thank you,
hero.
For me, man. It's got crazy.
Stay tuned for our next episode. Y'all have a nice day.